ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
No matter how tightly held your neighbourhood is, there's almost definitely at least one empty home on your street or a long-time vacant lot in the area. And maybe each time you drive past, you wonder, what's going on there? Well, new research claims that the number of empty dwellings across Melbourne has risen dramatically from more than 27,000 in 2023 to nearly 32,000 in 2024. And across the country, experimental ABS data suggests that up to 140,000 dwellings are sitting vacant. So why would houses, apartments, and blocks of land be left sitting empty? And is there a way to utilise these properties to address our housing crisis? With me is Raina Fahey, the Director of Advocacy at Prosper Australia, and Dr. Michael Fotheringham, CEO of the Australian Housing and Urban Research Institute. Raina, I might start with you. You're the group that's behind this Melbourne data. How did you actually figure out whether a property is empty or not?
Yeah, we started measuring what we call speculative vacancies a while ago now, and we use water use as our proxy for vacancy. So if a property is not using any water, we can assume that no one is living there.
That's fair enough. That makes sense. Do you know what some of the reasons are? Have you been able to dig into that?
No, and that's one of the questions that we really think needs to be answered, because there are multiple reasons why a property can be left vacant, and some of those are very valid. But what we don't know is all of the reasons why people keep property empty, and we don't know how long they get kept empty for. The data that we collect looks over a period of a year, but it doesn't tell us the trends of specific properties. So we don't know whether that property has been empty for just that year or for the last 20 years.
Yeah, I'm thinking on any given night around Australia, there's all sorts of places that are empty because people are on holidays or they've just sold a house and they've moved out, but they haven't moved in to the new one yet. How do you know what's maybe a holiday house or a long-term empty home? Can you speculate?
Well, no. Speculate's an interesting word. We do exclude some known holiday home areas from our data because we know that that's going to skew the results, and it's quite obvious by looking at it. But the questions around the reasons why people leave their homes vacant, we think are really critical to the part of the housing story. And it's not a part that's being told, and it's not really been investigated. So we know that there is, you know, an increasing financialization of our housing market, and there's an increasing amount of institutionalization of our housing market. So that means more companies are owning land as opposed to individuals. So we want to understand how that those shifting trends are influencing the way that our housing is being used, because it's interesting to talk about how many dwellings we have and how many new dwellings we have, but we also need to talk about what's happening to the dwellings we have now. Are they being lived in or not?
Well, your argument is that these empty homes are effectively wiping out one in every nine new dwellings being constructed in the state.
Well, in metropolitan Melbourne, our data doesn't extend past there, because when you come to regional data, I mean, a lot of houses in the country just run off water tanks like mine. Mm. So that data's less than accurate. And our other concern is that vacancy is increasingly concentrated in specific areas. The top three local government areas in our latest data update, it was one in three, not one in nine. So, one in 34 dwellings were completely empty. So that equals about one in three new houses added into those areas is effectively being left vacant.
What are you calling for? Like, what's the implications of this data that you've been able to quantify?
Great question. So two things. Firstly, we want the government to be collecting this data. We're a tiny little funded by donors, little not-for-profit in Melbourne, and we think this is a really important story that should be being told by the government. So we would like to see the ABS invest in collecting this data on a nationwide level and figuring out how to do that, because it is quite tricky. But secondly, we want to see tax reform. We want to see taxes shifted off production and work and onto land and natural resources and, to try and curb speculation within these markets.
You are listening to Life Matters here on ABC Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor talking to Raina Fahey from Prosper Australia about new data that organisations released showing an increase in the number of empty dwellings around Melbourne, maybe indicative of a trend more broadly in Australia. One person says, thank you for discussing these 32,000 empty houses in Melbourne. It's an important part of the picture of the housing crisis. Another says, as long as people can benefit through negative gearing from running a property at a loss, we will continue to have unoccupied properties. We need to shift tax incentives from negative gearing to providing long-term secure rentals. Another says, I live in Torquay, a beachside town. It's a mix of permanent homes and holiday houses. The staff for the cafes and shops struggle to find housing. We have young people live with us, which we love, but their mates pay huge rents and are often tipped out for Airbnbs. Well, also with me is Dr. Michael Fotheringham from the Australian Housing and Urban Research Institute. Michael, what do you make of these figures from Prosper Australia?
Oh, I think they're a really interesting insight on a really challenging phenomenon. You know, we know that there are many houses, many homes in Australia that are vacant, some of them short-term, some of them for longer-term, but we don't have good reliable data on that longer-term picture, nor do we have a national picture of what this looks like. So the work Prosper's done, you know, in Melbourne is a useful contribution, but I think we do need to have a more systematic approach to this to really actually understand what's happening across the country.
It's interesting that we don't really have a good way of counting this. I mean, water usage is really interesting, but I'm thinking of back in 2022, the last census figures came out, and there was a story then about Australia's 1 million vacant houses, but that was a bit of a misnomer.
Well, yeah, it absolutely was. I mean, you know, on census night in 2021, there were also a lot of people staying in hotels. There were a whole lot of factors that had people moving around on that one point in time. And so, you know, there was an interesting discussion at that point about what does this mean, you know, for our country? How many of our homes are actually empty long term? But, you know, Australia's unusual. We don't actually record this in a systematic way. We don't have regular government data for this. Uhuru's putting out a report tomorrow, actually, so I'm going to be careful about our embargo. But we've got a report coming out tomorrow looking at how do we account for vacancy, particularly in our rental systems, because most of the reporting of vacant homes in Australia just talks about homes that are available to rent. So what are the current rental listings that real estate agents have that are available right now? And it's done through three different data platforms, but all of them commercially run, you know, none of them government run. And that's quite unusual as a nation.
Is it a sign of a systemic problem if houses are sitting vacant, Michael?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's inefficient in terms of use of the stock we have. There's been a lot of discussion, you know, in politics and media about the need for more housing supply. If a proportion of that is just unused, then yeah, that is a problem. What we don't know is why it's being unused and for how long. So, you know, there are some really valid reasons that homes can be empty for a period of time. Someone might have had a serious surgery and need rehabilitation and therefore not be in the home for a month or two, or they could be travelling, or, you know, there are a whole lot of reasons. Properties are waiting for redevelopment as a site, looking to get a building approval, all sorts of reasons. But there are some that are just being land banked, and we don't know how many.
There's lots of suggestions coming through on the text line of what we could be doing with the vacant homes and blocks of land in the neighbourhoods that you're listening from. Janet says, renting out empty properties if the owner in aged care often creates a financial disadvantage with pension, etc. An interesting point. Sally says, aren't there historical records of water usage? That would show when the property was last occupied. Great topic. I hate that houses for holiday rentals are empty most of the time and kill the community spirit as their numbers grow. Similarly, Sue in Lennox Head says, in our small lane and the streets nearby, I would estimate that approximately one quarter of properties sit vacant for most of the year, eroding community. And Prem says, I live in Bega on the far south coast of New South Wales. There are numerous vacant public buildings around the town. opposite me is a stunning, vacant, old heritage stone building that's constantly being vandalised. This could be an education centre or a vegetable-growing space. The entire old Bega Hospital remains standing untouched at least 8 years after building the new hospital. This could be converted to accommodation or any number of community spaces. There's a brilliant old grandstand and club building overlooking the old racecourse. I'd imagine this could be a fantastic outdoor cinema and performance space. Local councils and developers lack the vision. Michael, are we doing enough to utilise these spaces that we have in communities like Bega and the other places we've mentioned?
It's a great question. I mean, I think that adaptive reuse of taking existing buildings, not necessarily just homes, but other types of buildings, and reusing them in new ways that are more appropriate for the community, whether that be converted into housing or used in it as a community facility of a different type, is a terrific thing to do. It's more efficient environmentally than knocking down and building a new thing, and it's faster. So, you know, there's a lot of advantages to that. It's not always easy because, you know, there are zoning issues, there are safety issues, you know, with particularly older buildings. But it's certainly something we should be alive to.
Raina, what would you like to see done with the data that you've gathered, and how could we build on it?
We want to increase the conversations that we're having with various housing ministers and revenue ministers, because it sort of sits within both of their portfolios. We'd really like to see the data taken off our hands and expanded. And we're really interested in trying to get much more granular data in terms of length of vacancy and consolidation of asset portfolios. So we want to understand, how much of that land is owned by government? How much of it is owned by institution, not-for-profit institutions? How much of it is owned by companies? We need to understand that data at a much greater level so that we can make some really informed decisions about what to do about the problem.
What kind of informed decisions would you envisage happening?
Well, when it comes to, say, government land, there are other countries in the world where you can get a list of, by department, how many houses each department has empty, and then the department knows, if I've got 10 houses empty, well, what can I do with it? The rest of the department knows what to do with it. If you talk to local government in Victoria and you ask them, how much empty land have you got, they generally can't give you an answer. So they've got a resource there that's not being utilised. We'd love to see that conversation shift.
So, staying with Victoria for a second, Michael, the Victorian government introduced a vacant residential land tax in 2018. It's going to be expanded on January 1st, so coming up pretty soon. Are measures like that one of the ways we can address unused housing?
Well, they can help to a degree. I mean, I think the jury's still out on how effective that tax has been. You know, compared to the cost of a property, it's a fairly small, effectively administrative fee for a property being empty. And there's a danger there of it being a hit on people who are struggling financially in other ways. And the cause of the vacancy might actually be quite legitimate and not something that should be punished. So it's tricky to work through. There's nuance there to work through. But what we need to do, and I think Raina's exactly right, is we need better data on this. We need to understand this better. You know, we'd like to see this being government supplied data. You know, this should be core administrative data. We're making housing policy decisions based on, you know, incomplete data sets, either from you know, the good work Prosper's doing, or from commercially run data sets, you know, run by real estate agents. And that shouldn't be the basis for our decision making.
Well, Raina, Michael, thank you both so much for joining me. Raina Fahey is Director of Advocacy at Prosper Australia. Dr. Michael Fotheringham is the CEO of the Australian Housing and Urban Research Institute, which does have a report coming out tomorrow looking at rental vacancies. Michael wasn't able to give us too much of a preview now, but we'll look out for that.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.